The Red Sox down to the last right. This is just the 28th batter they've sent to the plate tonight. Eric Clevinger sets. Here's the pitch. Swinging a high fly, center field, not deep. On comes Surrey. He's there, and he makes the catch, and the Red Sox have been shut out by the Tampa Bay Rays.
Joe Castiglione and DMX. It's the mashup you didn't know you needed.
Man, feel bad for Joe.
Yeah.
It's his last go. They can't make these games a little bit better for him? I mean, come on. I know there's not going to be a playoff run, but
they
like some little excitement, a little something?
They cannot.
That's a shame. That's a shame.
It's one of many shames going on with this baseball team. We'll give the Patriots a bit of a break here. We were ripping into them pretty good throughout the course of the show. Patriots Friday, Jones and Keefe. With all your phone calls, 617-779-7937. You want to jump back in on the game, we'll get to you. Disaster performance last night. What do they do at quarterback? How are we feeling about Jerod Mayo and the coaching staff? We just talked to DeMarcus Covington, Patriots defensive coordinator. It's up now on the Odyssey app. You can seek it out on YouTube as well. Just subscribe to WEEI. I will be joined by Mike Unwenu as well, coming up later on today on a Patriots Friday. But Red Sox lose last night. They're one hit. They're getting closer and closer to the bottom of the division, never mind a playoff spot. And we're joined now by Lou Merlone, Red Sox insider. He's brought to you by Shaw's and Star Market. Lou Merlone, how are we doing this week?
I'm doing all right, boys. Yeah. I'm doing okay. I'm hanging in there.
Well, you're doing better. You're doing better than the Red Sox.
Right. 1 week left.
I mean, we've been asking you periodically, are they a playoff? How do they get into the mix? How do they do this? How do they do that? I mean, are they going to finish in last place? Is that where this is going?
Probably not last place. But, you know, Tampa may pass them. You know, the funny thing is like, I kept saying, in order for them to make the playoffs, this rotation has to get a second wind. You know, they have to start throwing the ball better. And they're really the only thing that's turned it around. You know, they've kept them in ball games. But the offense has just disappeared, and the bullpen continues to give games up. So I guess it's more than just starting pitching, because all around defensively as well, it hasn't been a good couple of months.
You know, I know talent is obviously a major factor in this, but how much of these bad August, bad Septembers, bad second halves do you put on Alex Cora? That seems to be sort of a trend with his teams recently, where they're kind of in it, right on the outside of it at the trade deadline, all-star break, and then things kind of fall apart for him.
Yeah, and I think that's something that kind of eats at him. He's trying to figure it out. I mean, he is the manager. He's responsible for it. I still look at these teams collapsing for different reasons. You know, I think this year it was about youth. I mean, you know, I don't know how many established players do they have, big leaguers, in their lineup each and every night, you know, other than Devers, who has one shoulder right now. I mean, O'Neill, I guess, he's been injury prone. Everybody else are rookies or second year players who are finding out how 6 months of playing baseball difficult that can be. And other than Jansen and Martin, is there anybody out there that's got more than a year or two in the big leagues? You're relying all year long, you know, on Bernardino and Winkowski or Boozer or Slayton, who's a rookie, and Weissert. Like, I just think youth caught up to these guys, and they're figuring out what a big league season is this year.
We talked to you last week about the idea of trading Tristan Casas and what the Red Sox could do. I don't know. It's been a week. You've had time to chew on that, mull that over, listen throughout the big leagues. What do you think the likelihood is they move on from Tristan Casas this offseason?
I think they'll look into it, you know. I think that they will, you know, because I do think that as good of a hitter he is, you know, obviously the injury this year, it is what it is. It happened. But I think the league in general still really appreciates his at-bats, his power potential, and everything else. But it's just somebody has to go, you know, like some lefties have to go. Like you look at Yoshida, I get it, like Abreu, Casas from a big league team. And then you've got the prospects down in the minor leagues that are like 3 out of 4 lefties. Like somebody has to be moved here to get a legit starting pitcher brought in and maybe a legit right-handed bat brought in. You know, you can't have a lineup with 8 lefties, you know, in it moving forward. You can't. You see what the issues are this year. You have to get more balance in this lineup, and you have to go out and make big trades that hurt to bring in a right-handed or bring in just a starter.
Do you think, and I know he's not a starter, but do you think the Red Sox and Blue Jays would at least discuss a trade around Tristan Casas and Vlad Jr.?
I think that they would laugh you out of the building.
I'm not saying one for one. I'm saying, like, all right, we start with Costas. He's sort of the centerpiece. And then, like, here are some guys that are not in the Big Four. I'm just curious because, like, you get into all these sports and it's, like, about the contracts. Like, obviously, Vlad's a better player and a more established player. But if they think they're going to have issues getting another big contract with him, I don't know. And, like, if you throw a couple minor leaguers in there.
No.
Yeah.
I get it because I've seen people discuss this and say that there's no way they'd ever trade Costas for Vlad. And I'm like, hello, flip that. Because the Dodgers, you know, even in Toronto, they're like, no, why would we ever do that? Like, Vlad Guerrero is finally, like, you know, he's got himself in shape. He looks good. You know, he's going to hit free agency. And they've put a lot of money in the Rogers Center, all this other stuff. And I think Bo Bichette's gone. They have to hold on to somebody. And I think that guy is Vlad. Like, people up in Toronto believe that Vlad's not going anywhere. But if he was, yeah. I mean, jeez, you talk about a right-handed bat at Fenway Park. The guy's still a nightmare. I mean, you'd be trying to get him. It's just, you know, now you're back to, okay, another 10-year deal, $350 million, and are we good with that? Because you got to extend him.
Vlad hit his 30th home run last night. He's got 99 RBIs.
Well, to that point, though, do you think, Lou, there is another $300 million deal for somebody in the next couple of years with the Red Sox, or are they done with that?
I don't want to say that they're done with it, but doesn't it sort of have a feeling? It's not like I'm talking to John Henry all the time, but it sort of has a feeling that they're not really interested in 10-year deals, you know,
correct,
$300 million deals. I felt like they were cornered into the Devers situation given what had happened in the past, but, you know, Corbin Burns will be, you know, the test. You know, that guy, whether you want 8 years, $240 or, you know, I think that, you know, they're comfortable in maybe trading for young players and then trying to get extensions. It's always maybe a better way to go about it. But if you're completely out of that game, like, that's kind of hard. You kind of need a couple of them, right? You got one of them in Devers. You probably need one if that's an arm. Hopefully that's a decision.
Well, they could have had Ohtani for $700 million. last night was ridiculous. No one's covered 50-50 watch like Keith and myself.
Oh, we're all over it. I love this.
All over it.
Crazy.
He is now the first 50-50 player in big league history. He goes 6-for-6, 3 homers, 2 doubles, 10 RBIs, 2 steals last night.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. You're obviously a fan of baseball. Like what does that mean? That's absurd.
Yeah, that's like the I mean, I don't know. Is there a better night in baseball to have than what that guy had last night?
I don't think there is.
You know, the funny thing is with Ohtani is it's sort of like, you're going to give him $700 million. Now, we know that they finagled it a little bit, but it's like, you know, unless he pitches – you know, he's really not worth that. And I think marketing-wise, I think it's been proven that he is. And he's sort of like, oh, okay, so you don't think I have that much value when I'm just a hitter? All right, I'm just going to go win MVP and do something that no one's ever done before and hit 50 homers and steal 50 bags and run away with the MVP. It's sort of like, hold my beer,
mm-hmm,
right? Like, okay, and this is what he's done. He's a unicorn in every single manner. It's every way you can even talk about, but I'll be curious. I don't think he's ever going to touch 50 stolen bases ever again. Because remember, he's not pitching this year. When he pitches, he doesn't probably run as much.
Right. No, definitely true. But he went for it. He got it. And also, let's not rule out 60-60. He's got time for 60-60. The guy's a lunatic. He might do it.
I'm not.
Yeah.
I'm not ruling it out at all.
Now, I'm with you on the fact that he's a unicorn, but even when he was winning, you know, MVP and he was doing it for a bad Angels team, I wondered if this would at least open the door for other organizations allowing kids to do this. Like, how many high school kids do you know are the best pitcher and the best hitter on their team, but then they either get to college or they get to the minors, and it's like, you got to pick one.
Isn't Hunter Green one of those? Hunter Green for the Reds. He was like a guy who came in and could have played either way, and the Reds made him a pitcher only, right?
Do you think they'll at least open that door, or do people look at it like, nope, oh, now it's only – because a lot of people doubted Ohtani, and there were a guy when he came over from Japan, they're like, you can only pitch for us or whatever. So do you think now there's like, well, I don't know, like, this is pretty cool, and even if he is – 1/5 the player Ohtani is, or 1/10 the player Ohtani is, it still might be a pretty cool thing, and maybe you get another all-star out of it or something.
Yeah, I think teams, you know, maybe like 20 years ago, it was like, no, you're not hitting, even though it was National League style. Like, Baumgartner was one of those guys that sometimes would pinch hit randomly when you're down the bench, but I just don't think people are capable of it. You know what I mean? I just really don't. I don't think a lot of people are able to put in the work. I remember talking to the Red Sox pitchers, like, what their week looks like getting ready to pitch. And then talking to the hitters, like, what their day looks like on a nightly basis getting ready to hit. And we're talking about, running, fielding, hitting, bullpens, throwing, lifting differently. Like, I don't think anyone's really capable of it. That's why he truly is a unicorn. They can try, but I think eventually you get to double A and you realize you can't hit a breaking ball and you can't hit 95 and you give up hitting, you know, or vice versa.
Right.
So I just don't think you can do it. But, you know, maybe somebody can in the future. It'd be great. But at that level, I don't think so.
Lou, Joe Castiglione announced this will be his final year in the Red Sox, but 42 years. I guess your thoughts on that, and how's he been, recently? How's it been to be around him here coming down the final stretch?
Well, I haven't been with him the last week. I was on the road trip. I'm on TV here tonight for the weekend, but I know like it's almost similar to the Hall of Fame. Like, I know, like, you know, after the Hall of Fame, man, he was just like walking on water. You know what I mean? He just was like so excited about everything. And we've discussed this kind of privately about moving forward, what he was going to do. So I knew it was in there, but I'm happy for him. You know, it's not an easy decision. The guy's been doing it forever. But he and his wife, I know his wife's probably happy about it as well. It's going to be hard for him, I'm sure, the first year. But Hall of Famer, I mean, class guy. I listened to him as a kid. I listened to him call my first at-bat, and I've been in the booth with him since 2013. And I've learned a lot from him, and I'm still amazed at how good he still is. Mm-hmm. I'm still amazed how much he still cares. His memory is amazing. So I'm going to try to really enjoy the last week, 10 days here with him.
Not to put you on the spot, Lou, but for next year, do you already know what your plan is? Is it going to be TV and radio again? Yeah. Is it going to be all of one or all of the other? Like, what do you know what you're doing yet?
I have absolutely no clue.
Cool.
No clue at all. Right. Did like about 110 games or so this year, and hopefully I like to keep that number, if not higher. So we'll see. Those discussions haven't really happened yet. So hopefully we'll figure that out at some point.
All right, very good.
Lots of places, though, to catch Lou Maloney, of course, on television here on WEEI as well. He's our Red Sox insider. We talk to him every Friday at high noon. Lou, we appreciate the time. Thanks so much.
All right, boys. Have a great weekend.
Thanks, Lou. You too.
Lou Maloney joining us here on Patriots Friday on WEEI. That is pretty cool. You know, it's like I listened to him. He called my first at bat.
Working with him. Yeah, that is awesome.
Like, that is pretty cool.
Uh-huh. I mean, every Red Sox memory that you or I have, Joe Castiglione was in the booth for, right? Even if you weren't listening to the game at that time, he was calling that game, right? So every big moment, everything along the way, whether it was like Roger Clemens moments as a kid and Wade Boggs as a kid, or up through Manny and Pedro and Ortiz to Mookie Betts, like, Joe was there for all of it. It's awesome.
And we, since those negotiations haven't happened yet, we are available, Jones and Keefe, available live dong reports during Red Sox broadcasts.
Just break in. You know, anytime there's a dong in the majors, we'll break in.
Like, if that's something you need, you know, they haven't talked to Lou yet. Maybe we could get in there, undercut that a little bit, Keefe.
People need to know.
Swoop right in there.
All right. We dive right in. Head first.
We're available. Nominal fee.
If you need to know that Paul DeJong just hit a dong, we're your guys. Right?
Yeah.
Who else is going to have that?
Yeah, or Connor Wong.
Connor Wong dong.
Yeah, like that would be great.
We're on it.
We'd have that covered. 617-779-7937. Jets 24, Patriots 3 last night. It wasn't that close. What was that? Who do we blame? What was up with that offensive game plan last night? I think we should circle back to that. Why weren't the Patriots ready? And what do they do at quarterback? That's a lot of questions. We'll do our best to answer all of them.
May, under pressure, and gets sacked at the 12-yard line. Second and goal, clock ticking all the way down. So the Jets, who have melted under the lights, coming in, they've lost 13 of 14 primetime games, 2-15 in the last 17 games at home in prime time. Ready for prime time tonight. Jets 2-1. Patriots now 1-2.
Jones and Keefe here on Patriots Friday, WEEI. Talk to DeMarcus Covington in the 11 o'clock hour, Patriots defensive coordinator. You can check that out on the Odyssey app or on YouTube. Just subscribe to WEEI. We're going to be talking to Mike Onwenu, TBD, later on today in the program. Not a great night for the offensive line.
No, that's tough.
Not a great night for the Patriots. The Jets did make history last night.
They did?
They did. The Jets are the first team in NFL history, Keith.
All right.
400-plus yards of offense. 40 plus minutes, time of possession.
Yeah, you felt that too.
That
you felt every minute of that.
I might even felt low.
Yeah.
No turnovers, no touchdowns allowed, 7-plus sacks. First time it's happened in NFL history.
Whew. It was dominant. No, it was a dominant, like 24-3. You're like, oh, somewhat like low scoring.
Does not tell the story.
Not even close.
Not even close.
No, not even close. The Jacoby Brissett threw for under 100 yards. Ramondre Stevenson lost a fumble. He ran for 23 yards total. The only guy that did anything offensively would be, I guess, Pop Douglas. 7 catches for 69 yards. And very much that was one of the issues. It was like they gave in to Pop Douglas. They were like, Pop Douglas wanted the ball more, so they scrapped what was working in the first two games. They went all to Pop Douglas, and they had nothing else cooking. The quarterback looked terrible. He was getting hit a million times. The offensive line, which was already in shambles, lost more players due to injury, so they look even worse. They didn't run. They were running play action nonstop. Yeah, the Jets didn't care about the run game.
Jets still not falling for the play action.
No, they didn't care about that at all. And the only thing going was Pop Douglas. So a week after running for 185 yards as a team, you rush for 78. You know, a week after Hunter Henry has a career-high 109 yards receiving, he has 9. And so they just couldn't get anything doing. But also, it wasn't just offense. Like, the offense, bad. Defense, bad. Defense, Aaron Rodgers looked like a million bucks. All those guys were making plays. They just looked super comfortable. They only scored 24 points. But if they needed 54, you feel like they could have got 54?
Yes.
Like, they had these long, methodical drives. They were picking up every third down. Like, third down was, like, no problem.
They were 10 of 15 on third down.
10 of 15. Yeah, which also, honestly, kind of feels low. It just seems like every time they drop back, Aaron Rodgers would have time. Then he'd find somebody. If he hit him short, he would make one guy miss and then pick up more yards, or he'd get it down the field a little bit. They kind of spread the ball around, right? Like, they completed.
Oh, definitely. Conklin. Mike Williams,
he completed two
Xavier
or more
Gibson.
Passes.
Who else caught passes? Lazard, Wilson, eight different guys.
Eight different guys caught at least two.
Rucker,
yeah, name it.
Breece Hall,
Braylon. They're all on there.
Yeah, maybe Braylon Allen, Xavier Gibson. I said like a bunch of guys.
Yeah, Braylon Allen was on there. Braylon Allen had a good game.
Spread it all around.
Yeah.
So, like, no, you're right, Keith. It's a million things. The defense could not get stops last night.
Braylon Allen had a good tweet, by the way. The rookie from Wisconsin.
What was it?
Looked good so far this season. Somebody tweeted, how the bleep did Braylon Allen drop to the fourth round? He retweeted it and said, everyone wanted to see me run in my underwear to decide if I was a good football player.
Nice.
So I don't think he ran the 40. He was at the combine, but I think, and he's not alone. Plenty of other guys were like, no, I'm not going to run the 40. So he thinks that's why he fell, and looks like another good draft pick by the Jets.
Yeah, I mean, guys, I said this earlier, guys bounce off him. Like, Patriots were bouncing off that guy left and right because they couldn't tackle. They had 13 missed tackles for 100 extra yards for the Jets last night. They kept showing that graphic.
That's a good 1-2 punch,
on Amazon Prime. It's a really good 1-2 punch. So they had no answers for Aaron Rodgers. I've never been less confident in a Patriots defense on third down than I eventually was last night. Early in the game, I'm like, oh, they'll get some stops on this crappy Jets offense. Wrong.
No.
I was wrong about 8 billion things with the game last night. I thought the Patriots would win on the money line. I thought the Patriots would be ready. I thought Aaron Rodgers stinks. They couldn't stop him. They didn't win. They weren't ready to go.
It's the kind of game where you're like, I can never pick them again.
No.
Like, you can't.
Like,
you just can't, unless they make a change of quarterback. But even then, it's such an uphill climb.
Keith, we called it a swing game.
Yeah.
And as you said earlier, it has swung. It swung. I thought they could be 2-1 with winnable games left and right on the schedule. I thought Niners was kind of a toss-up with the Niners and the Rambulance. I thought there was a chance. No,
those are not toss-up
up
games.
No,
those teams are all thrilled to be playing the Patriots. All those teams can't wait to play the Patriots. They're circling the Patriots like, thank God, we need to get right game. We got the Patriots coming to town. I think what we also learned last night was week one against Cincinnati, pyrite. That, of course, the scientific term for fool's gold.
Oh, thank you. I was unfamiliar with that.
I believe it is.
Yeah.
I'm wrong. But, the Cincinnati game you kind of throw out because you feel pretty good about it. Turns out Cincinnati just lays down and dies. They never play well week one. Sometimes they don't play well for the whole first month of the season.
That's typical Bengals.
Yeah.
And throw contract squabbles on
They're
top of
it. They're having all kinds of problems.
T. Higgins doesn't have a contract he likes. He's on the franchise tag. He's like, oh, yeah, my hamstring hurts.
It's killing me. Hamstring's barking at me.
Jamar Chase is boycotting when he's out there on the field. So now in retrospect, week one, which felt like a great win, that just feels like the Bengals didn't care.
Now, this is more them than week one.
Seattle was competitive, but you lost, and now this was a beatdown. So, it makes you rethink everything about this team. I will question ever picking them again. Based on yesterday, last night.
I would take the Niners a week from Sunday.
Yeah, no, I would do that too, especially since it sounds like we're not going to get Drake May a week from Sunday against the Niners, which we can get back into. But okay, so what was that last night? We'll take your calls on it, 617-779-7937, and let's get more into this. Who do we blame? Who do we blame for last night?
Man, there's enough of it to go around. Let's start offensively, and let's put some blame on Alex Van Pelt for giving in to Pop Douglas, for changing his game plan. He has been, from the moment he signed here a run the ball guy. And you're like, I don't know if that's going to work, but whatever. Like, that is the strength of this team personnel-wise, right? The offensive line's bad, whether it's run or pass block. But Ramondre Stevenson and Antonio Gibson after last week, you're like, all right, run the ball. The Jets are giving up a lot of rush yards.
Right.
But he goes away from it, and he's throwing it. He's throwing it all over the place. They don't have time to throw it. You certainly don't have time for play-action passes to set up stuff downfield. So he tried to feed Pop Douglas. And I like Pop Douglas, but he's not a stud receiver. He has zero career touchdowns. So you don't need to change your offense for Pop Douglas. So I think the offense gave them very little chance. They were getting gobbled up. And then defensively, they were bad and they couldn't tackle. And that's kind of across the board. So I think Alex Van Pelt, I'll start with him, but he's not alone by any means.
I put it on Mayo. And you're right about Van Pelt, by the way. Play action on the very first play. 7 of the first 9 plays of the game were passes. To satiate, in the words of Mike Giardi. And I know that's not pyrite.
Pyrite.
Which
fool's gold.
The Twitch chat says pyrite, .. dork.
That's fine. Yeah, Dork Podcast on the Odyssey app, wherever you get your pods.
It was really a plug, is what that was. Twitch.tv/BostonWEEI. But it was to keep Pop Douglas and the receivers happy. We all want the Patriots to throw more.
Mm-hmm.
But just yesterday, Keith and I were like, don't.
Not against the Jets.
Don't force feed these receivers just to make them happy. The game plan is run on the Jets. You can run on them. The Titans ran on them. The Niners with Jordan Mason, not McCaffrey, ran all over them. And it's the best thing you do. So we said it's a weird thing because you don't need to get the passing game going against the Jets. And they still tried to. So Van Pelt definitely on my list. Covington still hasn't adjusted to anything the Jets or Aaron Rodgers are doing. They couldn't stop him on third down. Yep. They couldn't tackle. It's Mayo, though. You're not ready to go. And we played the clip for you last hour. We'll play it for you again next hour. Kraft is on Amazon Prime before the game talking about how I picked it 5 years ago. He was my head coach.
Yeesh.
Well, then 5 years ago, you might have made a mistake. You might have made a mistake. They weren't ready to go.
Retroactively, we now know that you made a mistake in 2019.
Robert Saleh.
Yeah.
Aaron Rodgers can't stand Robert Saleh. He's shoving him around.
Get out of my face.
Keeping him at arm's length. As Keith said earlier, like he's a member of the Rodgers family.
That's right. Go away.
Like he's his mother or his father or brother or another long-lost family member.
His uncle, his pappy,
right.
Whatever it might be.
Auntie Helen, Nana.
Stiff arm.
Whoever.
Doesn't matter. He's still going out there and spinning gems.
Aaron Rodgers.
Good.
Aaron Rodgers listened to Saleh and that coaching staff more. He might have more respect than the players did for Jerod Mayo, who just 2 weeks ago they said they were ready to run through a brick wall for.
There was nothing there.
They weren't ready to go. Mayo. Mayo's where I start. That's
Mayo's
the blame.
Good. I'm going Van Pelt. You could also.
Oh, big time.
You could go Ellie Wolf today when the offensive line was a mess all offseason, all preseason, first couple of weeks, and then you're left with this. And I know guys are hurt, and you could argue like, well, you know, no team has like, you know, 10 good linemen. This team doesn't have 5. This team doesn't have 4. This team doesn't have 3 good linemen. That's a problem. That's a big-time problem.
Are we sure they have 2?
No.
I mean, no offense to Unwenu, who we're going to talk to, but the play has not been strong. Andrews had a brutal hold last night.
That's
where he was overpowered by Quinnen Williams, in fairness.
Yeah, Quinnen Williams is a beast. But no, you're right. Like even those guys, unfortunately, haven't played to the level that we were hoping for those two.
We think they're good players, but they're not playing well.
They at least have a track record of being good, but I'm with you. Like just across the board, they've been bad, and you're kind of setting up the rest of the guys for failure. And also because Elliot Wolf was the guy that was like, oh, we got the pieces here.
Yeah.
We're just looking for it, but we feel good about this.
Okay, blame pie. Keith adds Wolves
get
to the list.
Slice. Get a little piece.
I mean, Brissett should be all over it. The offensive line should be all over it. The lack of tackling by the defensive players. Alex Austin is still holding on to Alan Lazard's jersey, when just ripping it apart 10 yards away.
So part of me is when you're like dishing out the old blame is the offensive lineman and Jacoby Brissett, I sort of put in one category where sure you can blame them, but it's like years
What'd
ago.
What'd you expect?
Yeah, remember, like, Brandon Lyon blew another save? You're like, yeah, because he sucks and he shouldn't be out there.
Brandon Lyon.
He was the closer by committee guy that got a lot of starts opportunities, I mean.
Wasn't he the snowboarder? Didn't he get hurt snowboarding or something like that? Yeah.
But, like, even a couple years ago, there was guys, you know, that would just get shelled out of the Red Sox bullpen. You can't really get mad at those guys, can you? And that's how I kind of look at a lot of these guys up front right now.
Yeah, no, I mean, you're right. Like, do I really blame them? No.
Yeah.
Like, it's not their fault that you're thrown out there. You're the third. You've never played left tackle before. You're Caden Wallace.
That is tough.
You know, it's not your fault. You're Jacoby Brissett. You're being asked to do more than you're capable of. But you don't want to let the players off the hook either.
Right.
But I'd start with Mayo. Where do you start? 617-779-7937. We'll get to your feedback coming up. Speaking of Jerod Mayo, I want to replay a couple of clips from last hour where he pretty much shut the door on Drake May starting this week, which I want. Keith wants, a lot of you want. Doesn't sound like it's going to happen. So we'll play that for you coming up. But it's Patriots Friday here on WEEI. We're joined right now by Patriots right tackle Mike Onwenu. He's brought to you by Shaw's and Star Market, perfecting the art of fresh. Mike, thanks for joining us here on a Patriots Friday.
Yes, sir. Thanks for having me.
It's a rough outing last night. No other way to put it. What went wrong?
Just pretty much everything. You know, we didn't play well from the standpoint. You know, I think they just beat us, and you know, just fair and square to say like that.
You know, no excuse making, but how tough is it when I'm sure you guys are out there due to injuries with some certain formations on the offensive line that you never even practiced in? I would imagine like some of those guys playing out of position and kind of thrown in there. What's the challenge with that?
Yeah, I would say, you know, especially for Kaden just playing left tackle and being his first experience and just having new guys playing all around, you know, that's a part of it. But, you know, obviously we have a job to do. And each game, we want to win each game. So, you know, we just got to do better and play better.
You mentioned the adjustments going on for others. I'm no offensive line expert, but it seems like the move to right tackle, which I know you've done in the past, has been certainly an adjustment for you as well. What has that adjustment been like?
I would say just getting back into it, you know. A lot of teams are doing different things, so really just seeing everything and playing the play for what it is and not guessing or not seeing the whole picture, making sure I see what's going on around me. Pretty much that aspect and just being better at that.
Was it a matter of what the Jets were doing, you know, throwing different things at you, different looks, or was it more just you guys? Was it more of an issue for you guys?
I would say it was a little bit of both. They definitely brought things and, you know, we saw different things and we, you know, they pressured us, but we played a hand in that as well and didn't play our best and pick up those blitzes as well or block as well.
Michael Onwenu, Patriots right tackle, joining us here on Patriots Friday, Jones and Keefe. What do you say to Jacoby Brissett or any quarterback who gets hit repeatedly? I mean, is there any message, anything you say when a quarterback's getting hit and beaten up like he is?
It's nothing you can say. I mean, it's nothing that you're going to say that's going to feel better or do better. You know, obviously you just got to do better and play better and block better. So that's all.
Were you surprised when Drake May came in for the last series?
I wasn't expecting it, but, you know, I don't make those calls, so I think it was good for him to get that experience and just play as well.
Yeah, how do you think he did? How do you think the experience was for him? Obviously, he was in there for 16 plays. You guys picked up some first downs. Ultimately, the clock ran out, but his first crack at a regular season game, what was he like in the huddle? How did that all go?
I think he was good in the huddle. I think he also held himself really well. You know, it was a lot of pressure, a lot of stuff going on around him, and he was able to make plays and get the ball out, whether it was scramble too as well. So, and just seeing the field and really being in that situation.
You've seen him getting reps in practice. Rob Mayo said last hour that the plan, the 30% plan, which he has acknowledged in the past, giving him reps offensively during the week, something that's going to continue. What have you seen with Drake in those practices, those reps that he's gotten, and where has he improved the most in your view from when he first got here to now?
If I had to pick something, I would just say his decision-making, pretty much, you know. I think he sees the field well, and he can put the ball wherever he wants to, so I think that's a plus for him, and he's progressing, and I think the more he gets, obviously those reps, practice is one thing, but in real game reps, you know, you see, and I think that, like, the two-minute drill he had was just good to see and good reps.
You guys started last night throwing more than you had. I think it was 7 passes in the first 9 plays, if I'm not mistaken. Do you feel you emphasized the run enough last night?
I think we're good with, you know, what the game plan was. I think that's what ABP wanted to start with, and we all wanted to start. We were confident in the game plan, but you know, things didn't go as expected, and you know, that's all you can really say about it.
Do you like Thursday night football, or is it just too quick of a turnaround? I know you guys have been dealing with it for years now. It is a part of the game. You've played on it before, but I mean, going from Sunday, and then especially even though it's not a far road game, it's still a road game coming up on Thursday. Do you like it?
I would say I like it. You know, it definitely gives you that chance to really play when all the attention is on you, but as well as it being a short week, you know, even things like that. But obviously, every chance to play football is a great chance. So you want to play well and put good film out there.
We're 3 weeks in. How would you grade the offense to this point, Michael?
Are you saying like the whole? As a whole?
Yeah, as a whole, yeah.
Yeah, I really wouldn't put a grade on it, but I would say we're progressing. I would say we have some bright spots and then we have some negative spots, but we see we improve and we see where if we do things a little bit different and correct them, then things will change.
Okay, well, there's some time to get it right. 10 days before San Francisco, a week from Sunday. He is Patriots right tackle Michael Onwenu joining us here on a Patriots Friday. Michael, we appreciate the time. Thanks so much.
Thank you. Y'all take care.
All right, thank you.
Bye.
Michael Onwenu joining us here on Jones and Keefe. Doesn't want to grade the offense. I'll grade it. It's an
D minus.
It's an F.
That was Daron Harmon grading.
Is that who that was?
Yeah, he was grading a Chris Scheim karaoke.
Oh.
They gave it a D minus.
I thought you told me that.
No, some people liked it. Some people hated it.
Who was the guy who had the Red Sox song a few years ago?
Yeah, yeah. He sang it. Callum Scott.
Yes.
Yeah, he loved Scheim.
He liked Scheim.
Yeah, no. Daron Harmon did not.
Daron Harmon. Well, you know.
He did not care for it. We're getting a lot of F minus in the
D minus.
We did get. Oh, it's already scrolled up, but somebody wanted me to ask Mike Onwenu if he thinks I could get around him and get to Jacoby. Which I'm not going to do that. That's not fair. And the answer is no. I would get pancaked probably. Probably. Depending on, you know, we had a different scheme or something.
I hit him with a good swim move, though.
Would you swim move him?
I'll swim move him. Swim move him. I'll spin move like I'm Dwight Freeney.
No, what I would do, I'd play possum. I'd lay down like I'm dead. Hopefully he goes to somebody else. Then you get up and you go.
I get with one of them.
Yeah, you get up with one of those.
One of the double
like a club hands.
Oh, rip my headphones off.
Oh, headphones are out. Yeah, club hand.
Hit him with a double swim move.
Yeah, that might work.
That's the way to do it.
Somebody also said, which I don't appreciate, I'm not going to read this, but somebody said, I'm surprised Mike Onwenu showed up to Jones and Keefe because he didn't show up last night.
Well, that's...
I'm not going to read that.
No, please don't.
That's super insulting to a guest that took his time out of his day
to join us. Dump that. If you would.
Delete that from the Twitch moderators, please.
Keyshawn Johnson style, dump that.
We're not going to read that.
So we got your thoughts
on... It's tough. I mean, they got smoked. Like, what more can you really say? Yeah, like, he right off the rip. He's not making excuses.
Like, we suck.
Like, how'd it go? He's like, what went wrong? Everything. Okay.
Yeah. I mean, fair.
See you next week. Fair. See you next week, Mike.
All right, we got you next week. No, look. I mean, on some level, I'm like, hey, I mean, I give him credit for showing up because not everybody does that, but it's a low bar.
No, that's true.
It's a low bar with this team this year, and they clear that very, very low bar today. 617-779-7937. Bunch of phone calls. I want to replay a few comments from Gerard Mayo. From earlier today, I think they're worth circling back to. Drake May, he slammed the door shut on Drake May starting against the Niners. Is it the right call? Should Drake May start Week 4? And why won't the Patriots go there? We'll get to it next.
After evaluating the tape and getting together with the coaches, what is the plan for quarterback going forward?
Jacoby is our quarterback until I say he's not the quarterback. I thought last night, he showed a lot of toughness, a lot of grit, you know, on protection breakdowns, tried to do what we asked him to do. But I would say just as a team, as a coaching staff, we just got to be better.
That was Gerard Mayo earlier today. I didn't think that was fully slamming the door shut. You did, Keith.
Yeah, I think it's not happening, at least for this week. It's a long season, and it's going to feel even longer at this rate. But, yeah, I don't think Week 4 is happening for the Drake May people. I think Week 5, though, obviously he's going to be on the table, especially if Week 4 looks anything like Week 3.
Yeah, I just don't know how much longer you can do the Jacoby Brissett thing. We'll play another clip here from Mayo coming up momentarily on Patriots Friday, Jones and Keefe on WEEI. One text, 37937, and this represents the other side. The Thought Police, the Greg Bedard Thought Police. Yeah. Don't even think about it. Are you thinking about putting in Drake May?
You're not going to play the third overall pick, are you? What if he gets hurt? Oh, my God. What if he gets injured?
Minority Report Bedard.
There's a lot of people, though, that definitely fear for the safety of Drake May. They're concerned about Drake May.
Here's one text line. 37937.
Hit me.
Did you see the shots Brissett took? Why are you trying to get May killed? I don't get why you don't understand. That's the reason why they don't want to start him. It's not that complicated, Jones. LOL.
Well, LOL in your face.
First of all, why is Keith exempt from that?
Because I don't subscribe to this.
And
I agree. They should stop the season. There might be some injuries.
Texter, did you see Drake May get hit last night? And he's fine.
He bounced back up.
Yeah.
Almost. The only thing that stopped Drake May last night was Gerard Mayo and the clock. Not the Jets. He was moving that football right down the field.
So, like, do I want
him
killed?
It's the prevent defense.
Do I want him killed? No. I heard, I think, Chris Curtis say this morning.
Yeah.
And we've talked about this before. Joe Burrow got hurt his rookie year. He's pretty good.
What did he do the next year?
He's in the Super Bowl.
What's that? Oh, but the offensive line got better. Oh, no, it got worse.
So, like,
his offensive line was atrocious that year, and they made the Super Bowl.
You obviously don't want to get him hurt. That's not the plan. But the Bengals got him hurt, and he's still a franchise quarterback. So
it's just bizarre to me. Like, I've never heard anything like this before.
Yeah.
It really is strange. It's a strange thought where it's like, oh, my God, this football player might get hurt, so he can't play.
Yeah.
Even if he gives your team, as bad as the team might be, gives the team a better chance for the here and now, let alone for your future.
I think that. You think that. If you don't believe Drake May gives you a better... If you're
if you think he sucks, then fine. Then don't play him.
And if you just think he'll make mistakes because he's a rookie and Brissett won't because he's a veteran, I'll disagree with that. But I respect that take much more than the put him in bubble wrap, you can't get him hurt. How dare you don't even think about putting him out there.
I'm with you because we had this argument all throughout training camp, and there was the start him, don't start him, and then there was like, well, don't start him for like a four games, then play him, which was like, what? I have way more respect for the full-on red shirt, meaning you're not playing, dude.
Me
like
too.
We're not even going to give you a helmet. Like, you're going to watch. Or you're going to watch all season.
You're a watcher.
You're a watcher. There's another word for it. I don't know if we're allowed to say it. So you're just a watcher. You kind of hang out. You get to look at everything. Like the guy that ran Liberty. You know, I'll watch a documentary on that one day. But you do that. So we keep Bailey Zappe or we go get a veteran quarterback X. So if and when Jacoby Brissett gets hurt because the offensive line is bad, nobody's arguing that it isn't horrible.
Yeah.
But when Brissett goes down, if the next guy is Drake May anyway, put him in now. But if he isn't, then why isn't there another veteran already on the roster?
Right. And furthermore, I said this all offseason too. I'm like, if you expect the offensive line to get better as the year goes along, it's probably going to get worse. Because injuries last night, you might be onto your fourth left tackle against the Niners. DeMontre Jacobs was playing left tackle at the end of the game last night.
Four starting left tackles in the first four games would undoubtedly set or tie a record.
Yeah, it would.
Without even looking it up, it would tie a record.
You don't need the key stats and info department on that
one. It might be a record.
It legitimately might be.
We'll have to dig into this.
So like the healthiest your offensive line ever was going to be was week one.
And it sucked then.
And you missed that.
So say it like if the starting offensive line was bad,
yeah.
And now you're down like to the next four guys after that. Like, what does that look like?
So we heard that Mayo comment earlier today. Keith slammed the door shut. He's like, they're not going to Mayo. We both think they should. I'm sorry, going to May. We both think they should. I didn't quite slam it shut then, but I heard this clip from Gerard Mayo asked about how much May is going to practice going forward, and now he's not starting week four.
Gerard, I'm just curious if you guys would consider altering the practice plan for the quarterback reps. Is there any chance you might want to give Drake a little bit more moving forward?
Right now, I would say it's still status quo. And kind of said it earlier, Jacoby's still our starting quarterback. And we just got to be ready to support him. 11 guys out there on offense. So it's everyone.
Okay. I mean, that to me means he's
status
not
quo.
Yeah.
So I read that not only is Jacoby the starter, it's also 70-30 reps is the same.
No extra reps for May this week, which
to me
slams it shut.
And I know sometimes it's oversimplistic when people are like, well, like the bye week's the perfect time to change quarterbacks. Well, their bye week is until the end of the season. So the mini bye week is right now. So if you subscribe to that at all, it'd be probably the best opportunity.
I think it's time, but they disagree, and they're not going to do it. And so I'm not going to say they're going to do it or pretend they're going to do it, but I think they should. What do you guys think? 617-779-7937. Gary's in the car. Go ahead, Gary.
Gary.
All right, so stick with me on this. Right. I think this, from the beginning, has been ownership and a management decision. The reason is it's about money. If you really want to look at the season, you know you're not going to be good. You want to extend the hope of the season. If you start off with Brissett and then you go to May, even if you're 0-5, 1-4, you instill hope in the franchise again around week 5 and you get another 5-6 weeks out of seeing what May is. If you go the reverse like Carolina did and he's 0-3 and May is as bad as Bryce Young is, you're not going to instill hope to get people to come to the stadium in the middle of the season.
Let's play that out, Keith, because I've said before, ownership, I give them some credit for not forcing what they want week one, starting Drake May. I still believe that to be the case, but I'll hear out that conspiracy theory. Let's get through the first
four games.
Extend
the interest? That basically the point?
Yeah, you can't.
Okay, so when's the drop down?
Well, that's what I was going to say. You can't do it for too long. Like, you still have to go to him one of these home games coming up, Miami.
That's why I think week five.
Miami or Houston?
I think you probably have to do it sooner rather than later. So I would think week five, because there's a good chance, again, any given Sunday, things can happen, but they're going to be 1-3. And if the offense doesn't score like multiple touchdowns, it for sure, people will be screaming from a rooftop
for it.
If
you're a casual fan, you're not a huge Patriots fan or a huge sports fan, you're a casual fan.
Go on.
You debate how much football you want to watch each Sunday, I don't blame you if you say, I'm never watching that team again with that quarterback. I'm never watching them again with Jacoby Brissett under center.
Because you know what I was after watching that? You know what I was after watching that game?
I was shooketh.
We all watching that game. I was even more shooketh than you. I thought they were going to win.
Yeah.
I was counting out.
I thought they were going to cover.
I was counting out wins on the schedule yesterday.
I had 20-17. I was close on the Jets score. I was a bit off on the Patriots score.
That's true. Will's in New Jersey. You don't want to play Drake May, Will?
No, without a doubt. And for the record, I was at the game last night. I was very shook. My brother and I were there, both in our Brady jerseys. It was by far, I go to the Pats game at MetLife every single year, by far the worst game I've ever been to. It was just complete gutless performance, but it was pretty bad.
Okay, gutless is a good word for it.
Gutless, but he doesn't want May, and he's not alone. There's a lot of people that are afraid for Drake May's health and safety, and they want to make sure that he is not hurt. That's a bad game. I don't think we want to skip past, because you were also saying this is like the worst game we've seen in forever. Last year, there was those back-to-back games against the Cowboys and the Saints that were atrocious. 34-0 and 38-3.
Yeah. So the final score was worse, and Mac made some individually terrible plays in those.
Yes.
Didn't they move the ball? Like, they couldn't move the ball last night, Keith. They couldn't tackle. They couldn't do anything. They couldn't do anything
last night.
All right,
against the Saints, they had 156 total yards.
Okay, that one, then maybe I'm shortchanging that one.
They moved it more. It's 18 more yards.
Yeah, okay, but then you're right. Then it's the worst I've seen since New Orleans.
This was the New Orleans game. It was 3-and-out punt, pick 6, missed field goal, 3-and-out punt.
Missed field goal. Had to move to get a missed field
punt,
goal.
Punt, fumble, punt, punt, pick. Punt, turnover on downs, punt, turnover on downs. Those last two punts were also 3-and-outs.
Right, that might be
that's real.
Maybe that's worse.
That's a rough go.
But so, okay. So it's the worst I've seen since last year.
Well, no, that's the thing. Is like, in our head, we're so far removed in reality from Tom Brady. It just like the team 12-4 every year. They've had some bad moments. Like last year, those two games, the biggest deficit losses for Bill Belichick in his entire career.
And they were back-to-back.
Back-to-back weeks. And so, yeah, that was bad. No, last night was atrocious.
No. Gutless is a good word.
But they've had some rough go. I mean, they were a 4-win team last year, so we really don't have to go that far back to like when this team was a mess.
Gutless is a good word.
It was gutless.
That was
without
gutless.
Guts.
With sans guts is what that was last night.
Dang. Mm-hmm. What are you doing? What's this?
Guts.
Oh, got it.
Yeah.
My bad.
Thank you.
You guys were on it.
Billy, you know what I'm talking about. Mo, you know what I'm talking about.
Mo, the aggro crag.
Oh, yeah.
Glowing piece of the rock.
What was the...
How did you have Nickelodeon? I didn't have Nickelodeon. You had Nickelodeon growing up?
Vermont had Nickelodeon.
No, we didn't.
You didn't have Nickelodeon?
Dude, I told you yesterday.
Nickelodeon
four,
was on...
4, 5, 7, and 9.
Yeah, but you also said you had satellite.
Eventually, like once I get to like middle school, but when I was like a little kid, I didn't have cable.
Yeah, we didn't have cable.
Nickelodeon's
we had,
cable.
We had DirecTV. Nickelodeon was on DirecTV.
You know what I mean? I had ABC, NBC, CBS, maybe Fox. Like, I didn't have much.
Yeah.
Scrapping together. That's why I was watching Night Court.
You know what?
Would kill for those days.
Yeah, those guys were great. Very simple. What's on? Nothing.
Yeah.
Good. Did you check all the channels? I did. Checked all of the channels.
Yeah, I checked
now
all,
there's too much.
I checked all four.
Now you're looking for stuff.
Accessibility is ruining the world.
Correct. Nick Gass? You must watch Nick Gass, Billy.
What was it? Nick what?
Nick Gass. I'm sorry.
Gass.
G-A-S. Games and sports.
Yeah,
guts.
Games and sports. It was guys just wild and crazy kids.
Yeah. Legends of the Hidden Temple.
No.
You didn't watch any of these?
I didn't watch any
of these. You didn't have them.
I didn't have it.